Maya Energy is proposing to build a what we call a material recycling facility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We will take residential municipal solid waste, and we're also going to take construction and demolition debris. We are not accepting any medical or hazardous waste. I want to make that very clear. Okay. What the process is proven, we're using a company that's built over 400 facilities worldwide. Basically, we take the your typical paper, plastic, cardboard that's in residential, non-hazardous waste, bring it into the plant. The truck drops it on a concrete floor, and immediately we start separating using equipment and technology, including what we call optical sorters.
Mm-hmm.
That is the latest to separate your high-end value paper, plastic, cardboard. Anything that's of lower value might be some paper that's got ketchup or contaminated. It goes to a different section of the facility where it's shredded and turned into what we call shredded paper, plastic, cardboard, and we call that a refuse-derived fuel.
Mm-hmm. What is that material going to go? The material that isn't clean enough or in good enough quality to be able to use and send out as recyclable.
Okay. That material, Chris, will go into an industrial user,
mm-hmm.
Typically a power plant. We'll use it in our dedicated boilers to make power.
So it does get another usage. It may not be not high-grade fuel, obviously, not as good as coal or something like that even, or even natural gas, but it will work as fuel in some facility, I take
well,
it.
Well, the RDF is going to be very clean,
mm-hmm.
and it's a quality fuel, let me put it that way. It's very good fuel.
Now, you mentioned about trucks bringing material in. What types of trucks are typically are going to be able to bring this material that will be sorted there at the facility?
Well, Chris, we're basically looking at what we call tipper trailers.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that probably less number of, let's say, city, municipal solid waste, garbage trucks will come in. But basically the majority would be what we call tipper trailer trucks, which are bigger. They look like kind of like a semi.
Mm-hmm.
And they hold about 25 tons per load.
I know that typically that we see some materials dropped off at sorting facilities kind mm-hmm. of like this or what mm-hmm. you're proposing. And a lot of times a waste hauler will use a clean, but a dedicated truck that either is one that picks up from the front or picks up from the back, however that the truck is made to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that material then is opened up and that material is then pushed out onto the tipping floor, the mm-hmm. area where you're going to sort. So you're going to have more larger, more dedicated vehicles or containers, at least, to bring this material in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris, it'll be a mixture. I would say probably 70% tippers, probably about 30 or 20% more to the residential you're talking mm-hmm. about.
Right.
The more the residential trucks that pick up the
so it's like they're not garbage trucks. That is to say, they carry trash. Although trucks like those do, but mm-hmm. these are, as I say, they're cleaned out. They're dedicated to handle recyclable material. So this way, you get this clean of material as you can expect to get.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to be a flexible facility. We will be able to take recyclables. Those okay. are called recyclables.
Mm-hmm.
Curbside recyclables. Definitely, we'll be able to take.
Well, we know that some of the companies here in Northwest Indiana do use those types of trucks to pick up curbside recycling. And mm-hmm. so I imagine you will get that material in. But the idea that it all comes in, all mixed up together, when it's, we'll say, plopped on the floor, so to speak, of the facility mm-hmm. that you're building there.
Well, like I said, we'll take single stream. Those are recyclables. And mm-hmm. we also take mix.
Right.
Municipal solid waste.
So,
but we have the technology, Chris, to be able to separate everything.
Well, tell us about that, when you get mm-hmm. things all mixed together, although it's clean material brought in the front door, so mm-hmm. to speak, and you have to sort it out. Tell us about what this the sorting is going to be like.
Yeah, well, typically that process will start with a conveyor and a grappler. A grappler will pick up the load and put it on a metered conveyor. It'll go up the conveyor, be a horizontal conveyor, and we'll have personnel there trained to look at what we're trying to get out of the waste stream, which would be, let's say, the high-end cardboard, plastic, paper.
Mm-hmm.
They're trained, and they'll grab it, whatever they're particularly looking for, they throw it in the bin. The rest will be separated by what we call trommels, separated into size. The optical sorters will shoot a light into, let's say, the plastic bottles. and the high grade ones, it'll just kick it off to the side. Mm-hmm. So it's the technology is there today.
So you've got the mechanical sorting at the very end of the conveyor belt, so to speak, and that's where you get the material coming in to be able to sort a little finer material, I suppose, and then get that out. Now, once everything is sorted, the people that do the picking off the line and put that into the bins, how is all that together how is all that put together to be able to send out to the end user, to the company that wants the material at the other end?
Yeah, what we'll do is we will take it from the bins and we will take it directly to like a baler,
mm-hmm.
okay? Anything that's quality and inspected that fits, let's say, the end user, for example, like a Pratt, does Envelope Arezzo.
Oh, yeah, like a paper mill or a mill that uses either makes paper
exactly,
or makes cardboard.
Exactly, and we've met with Pratt already. That's one of
really?
The companies that we have met.
I was going to ask if you've lined up your end users, as they call them in the business, the companies like Pratt Industries and places where they do take in the plastic materials or the other metals or anything like that might get sorted out.
Yeah, Chris, yeah, we do. We have a big company lined up already with us already. Matter of fact, we're under an agreement. And like I said, you know, those are the higher end valuable recyclables. The lower end, you know, like I stated before, we will take it, shred it, and also bale that for fuel. Now, the good thing is this, that the Lake County Solid Waste, they did what they call a resolution in 2016,
right,
which says zero waste landfill.
Yeah, that's the efforts that they're making now, that the goals that they're working
exactly.
toward. Yeah.
And this is very important. We're lined up with that zero waste resolution. Mm-hmm. Also, the state has a mandate that you have to recycle 50%. So, you know, right now, I think our facility will do about 90% diversion to the landfill.
Okay. Let's talk about the process that you're going through right now. The facilities, the construction facility, you say, is getting underway. You have to have special permits from the Indiana Department of Environmental Management. Tell us about the permit that you're seeking and how that process is coming along right now.
Yes. The two... I would say most important, they're all important, but the two most important permits from the state would be what they call a air/construction permit that would allow you to build the facility.
Mm-hmm.
Then your second one is called the solid waste processing that you need to operate the facility. We've got the first one already. That was tough to get. It took us over a year, good year, and now we're working on getting that second one.
Mm-hmm. I understand, you know, that the public comment period just ended, as a matter of fact, on the consideration of the solid waste processing facility permit. So you're getting to the end of that process, or relatively soon, I would imagine. You'll be hearing from Indianapolis on that pretty soon?
Correct, yeah. We expect to have it probably in the next couple of weeks or so.
When you turn in your paperwork, so to speak, the application for that permit, the second one, you have certain standards that you have to follow, I would imagine, for cleanliness, to make sure that there are no bugs or critters around. How about for things like noise, and particularly with all the trucks that are going to be coming through that particular area?
Yeah, well, things like noise is more of a local ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what the state looks for very carefully, what waste characterization that we're bringing in, what we're going to do with it, where is it going to go with the end user, if it's hazardous, non-hazardous, does it got, you know, paint on it or no paint? They're very strict. So we went through a real detailed process, Chris, for that.
Working with the city of Gary and getting things started initially, had, of course, zoning changes and things that had to be followed, which have already happened because you're at that point now where you're getting the facility built. How are you working with your neighbors in the area, so to speak? They're on 45th Avenue. Have you had a chance to talk with them and explain to them in more detail what this is like? And are you going to be able to continue working with your neighbors as the facility is built and in operation?
Well, Chris, what we did was we went through an extensive permitting, zoning process where we met right from the beginning. We met with the city officials to make sure that they were on board and that they were supportive of the project. We did a lot of design engineering work. We did traffic studies for that project. It's not an easy project. It's a complicated project. But we went through all the legal process to get to where we at. And we had, you know, support from the city. That's the first thing we did. Mm-hmm. It's very important.
What kind of help are you getting from the city of Gary, for example, since you're going to be located on off the edge of the city, road. It's probably going to need improvements, or it's going to need some expansion, I would imagine, to handle all that that traffic out there. Are they going to be able to help you out?
Well, Chris, we never ask the city for any incentives, mm-hmm. or we ask them for any help. We're basically going to try to, talk to the state maybe, see if there's something that Gary could get as far as that road
right.
to fix it. And we're going to see what we can do also to help.
So you'll ask for help from NDOT or for the,
exactly.
or the state agencies if they can help improve the road or whatever to
exactly.
make it better. So.
And we're going to do whatever we can also, mm-hmm. As a company.
When you get a project like this started, and you say it's very, very ambitious project, a very big mm-hmm. project, we know that you are taking in, you mentioned, some construction and demolition waste. For a moment, briefly describe what that kind of material is, and mm-hmm. let me add to the question, too. We know the city of Gary wants to have some kind of construction and demolition drop-off location where materials can be brought in from the houses that are going to be demolished. Mm-hmm. Will you be able to take on some of that material, too?
Chris, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Early in our meetings with the city of Gary, that was brought to our attention that if we, build the facility, it would be nice for us to take the C&D. And we are. We're going to take it. We're open working with the city of Gary, and we definitely can accept.
And I guess C&D, as we've described it here, that's basically typically what comes out of a demolished structure of some kind, whether it's wood or plastics or metals or things like that, that just gets all bunched together because it's whenever they rip something apart that they just dump it into a truck and you end up with a truckload of something. That's where it has to be sorted out too, right?
Yeah, exactly. You got your residential, commercial. I mean, basically in the residential, you have wood, you have concrete, you have some cardboard, you mm-hmm. have some metals. Shingles, of course. And what we'll do is we have the technology again to be able to sort that out.
Mm-hmm. It's difficult, we know, these days with so much dumping illegal, mainly, mm-hmm. In the city of Gary to deal with. Will this, do you think, certainly give residents and companies in the area an opportunity to be able to, if they have material similar to this material, it's basically demolition debris that in turn just been kind of dumped out in the open areas of the city of Gary, as we said, illegally in the past, to be able to give them a legal and proper home for this material to go?
Well, Chris, absolutely. I mean, we will be able to work with the city very closely to solve a lot of their disposal problems. We think, and we know, as a matter of fact, that this regional recycling facility that we're building is needed.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely needed.
Okay. Do you think there'll be any competition, so to speak, with companies that, like Republic and the other waste haulers that do offer recycling services of sort? They pick it up. Of course, as we said, they do the curbside typically, or the individual collection at a business or an office mm-hmm. or something like that. Do you think that there'll be any problem in working with these folks or working alongside these folks that are out there too?
No, Chris, I think that we'll work real good together because basically, their landfill is about 69 to 70 miles away. Mm-hmm. There's also transportation costs. And I think the fact that our facility is located in a strategic location will definitely benefit Republic Waste and any other hauler or company that wants to work with us. We're open, and our rates are going to be very competitive.
Mm-hmm. So you've thought about that too. It's not only to handle whatever clients in the hall that you've already worked out agreements with. It's still keeping things open for other companies that might be of interest.
Chris,
to me.
This was probably 10 years in the making, just really doing research and getting this thing organized. Mm-hmm.
Tell us on timetable now. How are things coming along, and what's the timetable for having the facility open and in operation?
We hopefully looking at breaking ground, I would say probably in May, sometime in May. And I would say construction period should be anywhere between 8 to 10 months. So we believe that by probably 2019, September, we should be fully open.